Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the ever lovely and charming Lady Diane. And of course, the amazing Philip James Gunger. Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray. Pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly, immeasurably boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. What have you got for us today?
Okay, continuing the things that married men need to stop doing.
Okay.
The next one says, stop getting mad at your kids for the stuff that you do. You can't tell them not to cuss when you're cussing in front of them. We can't tell them to control their temper when we vent our anger all the time. We've got to practice what we preach if we're going to have any long-term credibility.
Agreed. That's an easy one.
Okay. Next one.
All right.
Stop checking out other women.
Stop checking out other women.
Grocery store.
Unless you work retail.
Yeah, then you better check them all out.
Like in the library, I'm going to check out this chick.
No, that's a book. You don't go to the library to check out chicks.
You can't check out women? Books.
No. When we check out other women
kind of
in public.
You're going to.
What kind of library is that?
He says we're publicly disrespecting our wives and publicly objectifying other women all at once. Watch where your eyes go. Don't swing your head around at every woman wearing yoga pants. Have more respect for your wife.
I don't understand the attraction of the yoga pant thing.
That men shouldn't wear yoga pants?
No, men definitely should not wear yoga pants.
No, that's supposed to be a hot thing for men.
For men.
I just think it looks like two pigs wrestling in a gunny sack.
Well,
man.
It depends on who has them on.
I presume. Maybe not that many people look good.
If you see someone who looks good in them, that's a different matter.
Is it? All right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
You lived somewhere other than Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's the other thing,
yes.
Too.
Yoga pants in Green Bay are a whole other matter.
Mm-hmm. This is probably sadly true. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You should stop not wearing your wedding ring. Whether or not you wear a ring is one of the first things women will notice about you, and they will make assumptions about your availability, even your commitment to your marriage, based on the presence or absence of a ring. Wear it as often as you can. I think that there's some truth to that. I think that someone will go, oh, there's a ring on that finger. And I think that there are many, too many women probably who look at it and go, I don't care. It means nothing to them. And the same thing to men. It doesn't matter what's on your finger.
Yeah, I think it's...
If you're a piece of caca,
but, you know, I guess,
the ring doesn't stop you.
You look at the ring to see...
But for some people, it takes it off. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. So wear your ring. I think you should just wear your ring all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's an outward sign.
Some of us have gotten fatter since the ring went on.
We can't get it off.
I can tell if I'm... I test a lot to see how
fat
swollen
you are.
I am today. Oh, I can still get it on and off.
Yay!
Mine doesn't come off anymore.
You just spit on. Oh, well. There might be a deeper meaning to that.
All right. We will come back with your emails right after this break.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Hi, I want to talk to you about a new program that we are launching here called Transition One. It is a one-year gap program for young people graduating from high school before they go running off to college right away. It's 1 year. Pause for 1 year. Put God first in your life for 1 year. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all the things you need will be added to you. But what we think is, no, we need to get these things so much. That's got to be first. And who cares about God? And it's a big mistake. 80% of the young people going through our churches, after the first year or two of college, completely give up on their faith. We're doing a terrible job. We're not really preparing them. Hence, why some of these one-year programs are popping up all across the country. We've started one here in Green Bay, in connection with our church here at Celebration Church, a church that I'm the pastor of. And it's a one-year program, gap year program, designed to help young people to focus about their priorities in life, on their faith. It's not a Bible college by any means, but it's about helping them focus on their faith, how to succeed in life, how to make decisions, all this kind of stuff. And then after the first 6 months, which is here in the classroom, the last 3 months, we're sending them to missionaries that we know and have great contacts with, areas of the world that are safe, but it'll be a great opportunity for them to go and live someplace else where there's not a McDonald's on every corner and there's not unending video games and all. And you get a chance to really see how people, most of the people in the world, live. And it changes you. It helps change you. We as the evangelical Christians do a terrible job of prioritizing the kingdom of God in our lives. We get our kids to think about, well, you should, but we put everything else first. The Mormons, you know, and I love Mormons, we're not anti-Mormon, but they're not in the evangelical Christian, you know, category. They're much better at this. Every young person is a Mormon, supposed to go for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They serve God for 2 years before they go do all this stuff. Yep. Come on, we can't come up with 9 months, people. And a lot of your kids are going to school, they don't even know what they want to do. Why in the world some of you are planning to spend $30,000 a year plus to send a kid to school? He doesn't even know what he wants to do, and he's going to get a history degree or something, which basically means I don't know what I'm going to do. Y'all are crazy. Quit burning all that money. For heaven's sakes, if they know what they're going to do, that's be one thing. This automatic education, high college response, I think is very silly, especially for kids. I mean, if some kid, all he wants to do is fly airplanes for his life, why are you sending him to college? If all he wants to do is work on cars, why are you sending him to college? Doesn't need to do that. But if at a minimum, even if you want him to go to college, take a year off. Get grounded in your faith and then launch into the rest of your life. Put God first. Check it out, transitionone.org. Doctor, can I have a talk with you? I'm Mark Unger, the doctor of love. Answering your emails.
You do sound like the ladies' man.
I'm the doctor of love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm the love doctor.
Guy you were talking about Saturday Night Live. What's his name?
Shut up.
Leon Phelps.
That's it. Leon.
Don't encourage people. All right.
Okay. He says, I think 1 Corinthians 13:7 is kind of confusing. I understand that it is foolish to blindly trust someone, but am I not being loving by not doing so? What are Mark's thoughts on love always trusting? And what does the Bible say about trust?
I don't know. What do you think?
I'm the one that's half asleep today. You can't ask me. Phyllis, it seems to be the most one on the ball today. The one most on the ball.
Oh, that's really interesting. What do you think, Diane?
What do you think? Throw it to the girl who's half asleep.
What do you think, Phil?
Trust. What? Love always hopes, always trusts, right? That's the verse that he's speaking of.
I just taught on this.
I know. So you would think that you would have some.
I can't remember what I said.
Something right there.
So I'm literally looking up my notes.
It always sounds like, I mean, I don't know. My first thought when they asked that is, I wonder what she's referring to. She's clearly referring to, or he is clearly referring to a specific issue, I'm assuming.
Issue or situation? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's just like, what does trust mean in the context of the world? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I would think that love
always trusts.
Yeah. I was going to think of bringing up some kind of political situation.
Like what?
Well, I was just thinking some of the people who immediately, you know, they talk about the refugees, and their immediately thing is they hate them all. And I think the initial response is, with love, is that you should be trusting. Doesn't mean that we don't need to have, you know, things in place or whatever to figure that
trust
out.
Trust but verify.
Sure. But I think the initial reaction should be, your knee-jerk reaction of love should be to trust.
Until you've been given a reason not to.
But I think you should always lead with the love and the trust thing.
Well, that's good, Phil. You don't think you should lead with it? You don't think you should trust somebody until you've been given...
I know he's not going to agree with my example. So that's why I was trying to find another one.
Oh.
No, I think we're incomprehensibly stupid in this country. If it walks like a skunk, it smells like a skunk, it talks like a skunk, we go, well, how do you know it's really a skunk? I think we can be a little bit smarter than that. But love always trusts. Trust is a firm belief or confidence in the honesty, integrity, and reliability of another person. There's always an element of faith there. You know, I don't think you walk up and just trust strangers. I don't think you trust people that have proven themselves to be untrustworthy. You know, having said that, love does trust. And there's always an element of faith. There's people who say, you know, my husband had an affair. How can I ever trust them again? What they're asking is, how can I be guaranteed that I'll never get hurt? And there is no guarantee. That's the element of faith that's in trust. And when you're walking in love, there is a certain element of faith involved in it. But I don't think, I mean, you know, you got to use some wisdom. There's people who mean you great harm. There's people who want to rip you off. There's a, you know, I got this email from a guy in Nigeria.
He has a large sum of money for you.
My name is Umbala Manewalabala, and if you write right away, I give you part of $10 million. Yeah, I don't think so, you know. There's, I don't trust that. Well, then you don't love them. Well, I don't know.
Well, no, because you don't even know them, so.
I'm digging still.
I don't know. Why would, I don't know.
So, I don't know. I would say, I would apply that to the people in your world and that you know. And if you truly love these people, and in the church we should love one another, in that context, I think it should always trust. The assumption would be that they're not going to hurt me, they're not going to rip me off. Can I be guaranteed? No, you cannot. No. Having said that, once you get outside the church, and the Bible really does teach us there's a difference in how we approach the family of faith and how we approach the world outside.
And Paul was writing that believers to believers,
to
correct?
Believers. So
believers.
I think this whole thing about love and what it all means and stuff is within the context of the Christian community. I still think that we can act in very loving ways to people outside the Christian community, and indeed we should. But I think at that point, one is a fool who just blindly trusts people, no matter what they say, and you'll get yourself in all kinds of trouble if you're okay with that.
You raise a good point in my mind.
A good point in her mind. I'm shocked that she has a mind.
I'm surprised that you would raise a good point in it. Oh. You know, that people have a tendency to apply all of Scripture or, you know, even the heathen people. Yeah, but the Bible says in this. The Bible is very, it's not like a one-size-fits-all. There are things that Christians are supposed to do as a Christian and how you treat other Christians. And then there's a difference between how you are to treat people who are not believers. And everybody that throws these little Bible verses around want to act like, well, you're a Christian, you're supposed to fill in the blank. Yeah. And that's not necessarily true.
It's not true at all. And I think that's very clear. It's one of the problems that people have with people who are immoral, you know, whether they're adulterers or fornicators or homosexuals or what are all these things that the Bible clearly says. For Christians to run around and shoving that down the throat of all these unbelievers is absurd. Well, the Bible says in the church, we get very tough with that stuff. But outside the church, Paul said, look, if you're not supposed to have anything to do with immoral people, he says, I'm talking in the church. He says, if I said that outside the church, then you can deal with anybody. Mm-hmm. There is a different way that we approach people outside. If I have people in my church really commit, and quite frankly, in my church, there's a difference between people who are really committed members of the church and people who just come to church.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people who just come to our church that are fornicating their little brains out, living immorally and stuff like that. And we just love them and stuff like that, but they're not really devout, committed participants of the congregation. People who are, you know, we would hammer, you know, if Tim in there starts committing adultery, you know, yeah, we're going to have a real problem with that, okay?
But that's all out of love. And I think what the world sees sometimes is they see the church who
judging and condemning.
Like what you're just saying, they've completely just lost and it's become all legalistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But some people do. The point being is the people in the church don't see the difference. The differentiation between how you deal with people in the church, right, and those who are outside the church. Outside the church, I have all kinds of friends who are adulterers, who are fornicators, who are homosexual, and everything. They say, do you have anything to do with them? Sure. I've been to their homes. I've been, you know, I hang with these people. What if they're gay? I've been a gay man. Has a great dinner.
Good cooks.
Guys could really cook and had some fabulous wine, as I remember. Why? Yes, yes, absolutely. Supposed to love everybody. Well, the Bible says we're not supposed in the church. Now we got somebody in the church, someone who claims to be an elder or deacon in the church, and they're living in sexually immoral ways compared to the biblical standard. Yeah, now we got a whole different ball game. The hammer falls very differently in those situations. And you're correct. I think people really struggle with that.
They think that the Bible applies to everybody. I remember, and this was many years ago now, but I remember reading through the New Testament one of the first times, and all of a sudden it clicked in my little brain that the start of all of these epistles is to the believers, to the this, to the... And I literally, in my Bible, you can go through that I have circled at the start of every chapter because it clicked in my mind. This is not written to the world.
This
is written to believers. And I think there are a lot of believers who think that this all applies to everybody. It's like, no, this applies to you.
It applies to you, correctly.
And to the believers.
And in fact, there are points, and I can't just, I'd pull them up right now. I could look it up during the break, but look it up yourself. There's points where he talks about sexual immorality and that kind of thing. And he specifically says, I mean to the church, not to those outside. Even in his writing says, there's a difference in how we approach people outside the church. And why people struggle with that, I don't know. So, do I think we should just trust everybody? Immigrants or otherwise? No. Well, no.
But people in your realm, your own...
In the church.
Which you're connected to.
In the
you
church,
sort of assume
I'm
the best.
I'm just saying, I think your first reaction should be out of love, but then you can't be stupid about it. So if people need your help, I think our first reaction should, sure, I want to help you, but that doesn't mean that I just blindly trust you. Yeah, I'm going to help you, but the way to help you is you need to go through this and this and this.
Look, and I think it's just wisdom, you know. As for these Syrian immigrants...
I
think it's a good example because when you watch them on TV, whenever they're on TV, in fact, you'll see them as soon as the cameras come, they hold up little babies and stuff like that. Okay. And so, you want women and children? No. In fact, I'll tell you what, from a wisdom perspective, I would let women and children and married men come in. These are the ones that are proven, by and large, are not a threat to anybody. It's the single men, young single men. And if you look at the wide shots, the vast majority of them are all single men. And you say, well, that's not trusting. You're right. Why? Because there's a track record here. We have problems in that area. And I think our immediate Christian knee-jerk response shouldn't be, well, we just want to love and trust everybody until they do something wrong. I don't know. I just think we can be smarter about that. Again, how we deal in the church is different than how we deal with outside of it. And if you have a different... didn't like my little political take. I don't care.
Please don't tell me.
Don't write me.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to hear it.
Diane Breyerly.
Yeah, I know. Because they come to me.
You know, I just think in any of these things, use wisdom. And you can't say, well, we just love, always trust. Well, I don't really love all the, I don't know.
Do you tend to be like an err on the side of trusting and give people the benefit of the doubt? See, I do.
Do I? I tend to, yes.
I do. And then it's like, oh, sometimes you're too trusting. You're just too, and I get myself in trouble and because I err on that side.
The difference for me than a lot of people, and probably yourself as well, is when that happens, I'm not devastated. When I have an error of trust and I get screwed over.
So yeah, that's people.
I'm. There's people who are devastated. Yeah. Oh, I trusted them, and I lost $300, and I get. And I think really
no,
I just lost $300.
Well, that's
I've
that's
lost
for
more
you.
Money than three. I have literally lost physically lost more than $300 in cash. Just on the ground that I've left somewhere.
Made somebody's day real happy.
I'm sure I did. Somebody came along, found, $600-$700. Like, whoa. So, I get it. Why, we were in California.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Some guys broke into the van and stole,
five iPads.
Five
and $800.
And $800. Mm-hmm. So when Rob, our financial guy, said, someone broke in and we stole all our money. First question I said, how much was it? And he said, $800. And I started laughing. I said, okay, I can handle $800. Yeah. If he would have said $8,000, I went, what? Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd say, what are we doing with $8,000? You know what I'm saying?
It's just walking around money.
Now, I don't walk around paranoid. Mm-hmm. And nor was I broken in my spirit because I trusted those people in that parking lot to be, it's just, but there's people who act that way.
No.
Their failure of trust devastates them. And I just think they're silly. So I tend to trust me. Although, the older I get, the more circumspect I get. And the next time we're in a foreign town, in a golf course parking lot, I'm going to be less trusting.
Yeah.
But again, I don't live in fear about it. Yeah. But should we apply to all people that love, always trust no matter what? I would say I dare say not. Anyway, we'll take a break. I trust you will join us on the other side.
Don't be devastated if they don't.
I won't be.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
We're back. Mark Gunger Show. Mark Gunger, Diane, and Phil answering your emails. What do you got?
That's a guy writing. He says, I have recently done some binge watching of your podcasts, and something stuck out to me.
It's hard to tell the difference between binge watching our podcast and Breaking Bad.
Well, that's a mess with you about the same, I think.
About the same. Yeah. All right.
He says, in one podcast, a man wrote in regarding his wife's inability to orgasm and seeming unwillingness to do any further work on the issue. So the wife couldn't reach the promised land. Okay, I was able to identify with this man's situation in that my wife and I have been married for 7 years and she has never had an orgasm. Mm-hmm. I am not delusional in the fact that I do not always last very long in our sexual opportunities, mm-hmm. but nothing seems to change on the occasions when we are able to engage in intercourse longer. I talked to her about
what's his version of longer?
I did ask. I talked to her.
Now that's very fundamental.
It could. I don't know.
Okay.
It's because it's not germane. Will you just
germane.
Listen?
Okay. I'm just.
I talked.
Just
to
commenting on my show.
I talked to her about your feedback on the show, and she had many of the same feelings the other man's wife had about being embarrassed, about going to the doctor and stuff like that. Uh-huh. She also indicated that she is fulfilled in our sexual relationship as it is, so mm-hmm. she's fine and good and happy. Mm-hmm. Okay. What I need some clarification on is that in this episode, you indicated that the man should just leave her alone. But in another episode, there was a lot of discussion about a man being inadequate if he cannot bring his wife to orgasm. My question is, how far should I continue to push my wife to address the issue of not reaching orgasm when it is in a situation that makes me feel less than adequate as a lover? Can you just clarify your position a little more?
Okay, first of all, you're asking me to clarify programs you're binge-watching that were recorded perhaps years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure what I had for lunch yesterday. All right, so, but if there was one show where I said, leave her alone, and the other one says, you need to press through, the difference would probably be the wife. If the wife was, in fact, happy and content, then leave her alone.
Yeah. And that is what he's asking.
And in your case, you should leave her alone. Now, if you got a woman who's frustrated, then you need to fix it and press through.
Yeah.
If your wife is saying to you, if she's being a lover to you, she likes being with you, and she's enjoying, and you've never rung her bell, and she doesn't seem to care, then leave her alone.
But he's saying he feels inadequate. And that's what's bothering him.
I can't fix your feelings.
I don't know. I'm not a man. Is that a big deal if she doesn't, that's going to make you feel inadequate? Or are you just going to be happy with what's going on?
Look,
I don't know.
I am of the personal opinion that if you do this correctly, you can ring the girl's bell. This is my personal opinion. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. You know, if there's some people who never, for whatever reason, then fine. Again, if your wife is saying, I am happy, don't make an issue of this, then leave it alone. That's true about anything. If the wife says, look, I'm really happy with the way you put out the garbage, and you go, I don't know, I just think the garbage needs to be put out a certain way. I just, shut up. Leave her alone. You know, if the wife's happy the way you do the cooking and she's happy with the way you cook, I don't know, I just think I could cook better. Just really leave her alone. Now, if you're having your own personal torment in your soul of your personal feelings, that's your problem. So I don't have an answer for his feelings. How do you fix feelings? I'm sick of this feeling stuff. Everybody's going nuts with their feelings. I don't feel this. I don't feel it. Really? I don't feel like doing this show.
He's an angry elf today.
He is.
He's an angry elf.
Does someone need a hug?
He's feeling it. Well, stop. You have a happy wife. She makes you happy. Go with that. Be blessed. There's guys who have wives who never have sex with them. Consider how awful that would be. So, anyway, I might encourage you to pick up some books on the issue and learn. Because, again, I am under the assumption that if done properly, she could experience what you're trying to get her to experience. But I don't know. I don't write about those things. I don't get into that kind of detail. And I don't want to get into that kind of detail with you. As for your feelings, I'm not very feeling about your feelings. We'll be back after this break.
Caution, the Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Oh, I don't know what to do.
That's what to do. That was the last email on the Mark Gunger Show. Our friend writing in and unable to sexually please his wife. She doesn't seem to be bothered by it, but it bothers him. I would suggest getting some books. I'm not talking about porn. I'm talking about some medical books, books about sexuality and... You know, generally speaking, if you push the right buttons, then that will work for her. Now, it tends to be a little bit different for everybody. And just, you know, part of the fun of this would be figuring it out. It shouldn't be thing of stressful, but then I've never been there, so I don't know. I would say, by and large, my quick answer is, if she's happy, then quit making it an issue. Because then she's not going to be happy. And then you make her feel bad, and then you're going to only make things worse. I would quietly, on your own, learn more about it. And when you're together... experiment a bit. She'll go, oh, that's new. You know? And generally speaking, I think...
Too many men don't know anatomically how women work. And
it is true. They really have no idea what's going on.
The logistics of the matter, shall we say.
I know. And we tend not to get into
that kind
of... Our graphic detail is bad enough as it is without getting to literally this thing's over there and that's over there.
Now, if I was sitting at across the table from him, I would have no problem explaining to him, dude, this
is
how it works.
Pull out the flannel graph. This must be stimulated.
Right,
this part here must be touched properly. And if you do it, it
generally
happens.
But you know why?
Happens.
Because they think about what works for them, and they think that the same kind of mechanics, shall we say, and the same sort of things work for a woman, and they don't.
And it doesn't.
It's different. Too many movies or something.
The other thing,
this is true.
The other thing I would add to that is he says, on the rare occasions, I do last longer. Yeah. Well, I mean, if my guess is that his problem is he's a 2-minute willy man. He just boom, 1-2, and it's done, you know, or less probably. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, sometimes I can last longer. Well, the problem is that she has no expectation at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably go for 3 hours, not make any difference to her. Just, you know, she's not into it because most of the time it's slam, bam, thank you, ma'am. So I would still argue. He has got to learn how to control himself sexually, which can be done. Again, get some books. There's a million books on this issue. I'm not going to get into this stuff, but I think you could do this right and figure it out. So he's totally confused now.
Use the force.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
She says, I am a health nut and my fiance is not. Uh-huh. I want to know, is my influence on him eating, drinking healthily considered changing him? Because she knows you're not supposed to try to change
something. It might be considered abuse.
That's what I think. I think it's abuse.
She says, I value wellness and would like the same for my fiancé. My friends say I am changing him, but I don't believe I am. I believe I'm helping him improve his health. I appreciate your advice on this. And I did ask if he was willing to have her input to help. And she says, yes, he is willing for me to help him improve his diet and lifestyle.
Several things of advice. Here's one. I always tell people, when you're dating, listen to your friends and family. If all your friends are saying you're trying to change him, you're probably trying to change him. All right? Listen to the people close. I don't know, Jack. I don't know you from the man in the moon. You know what I'm saying? Pastor, what do you think? My friends all think this, but I think, you know, really? You probably should listen to your friends. Here's the other thing. If it's really important to you, like she says, and it's not to him, you know, you're probably going to just really frustrate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is to dump him and find some boy who wants to eat squirrel nuts with you. I don't know. Whatever. Fried chicken brains.
She said he doesn't care?
She said that he's willing to accept her help and input.
All right. But again, clearly, she's the one who's frustrated.
Yeah.
That's what irritates me. It's like chicks like this. It's a big thing for me. It's a big thing. And he's listening a little bit, but it's a big thing. And you're going to marry him, and you're going to drive him crazy, and you're going to be frustrated because he never does what, and he still eats wrong. Really, first of all, I thank God I never dated somebody like you. That's all I got to say, number one, because I think really health people tend to be nuts. That's why they're referred to as health
nuts.
Nuts, because you tend to be crazy. These
Your
people.
Father doesn't take the health advice very well.
Irritates me to no end.
It becomes like a fanatical religion to them.
And here's the crazy thing. It's not like we're living longer lives. Oh, wait, we are. We're living longer than... When I was born in the world, people didn't live as long as they live now.
I know, their life expectancy has increased.
Okay, but our food's so bad. Really, if it's so bad, how come we're living longer? Well, there's health problems. Okay, well, people have always had health problems. And look, I agree, you probably shouldn't be eating cheeseburgers for breakfast. All right, and there's some common sense. On the other hand, some of y'all are just crazy.
Here's what I have found out.
But back to the sleep.
Go ahead.
If it's that, and it's bothering her. She's pretending that, my friends think, you know, but your friends are trying to tell you you're crazy, all right? That's what they're trying. They're trying to tell you you're just nuts. So, you don't want to listen to your friends? That's your own problem. My guess is you're hearing from the world around you because you're over the top on it. Listen to the people in your life. This is known as self-improvement. People like you who don't want to listen to their friends or anybody else tend to stay, I don't know, nuts.
Well, they want to improve everybody else.
And the thing is, she's going to marry him, and she's going to be mad all the time.
Because he won't eat this.
If I could talk to your boyfriend, I'd say, get away from her! Good grief. And again, this irritates me. People know what irritates them going in during the dating process. They know it's going to drive them insane, and they marry him anyway, and then they will spend the next 40 years sucking the life out of every pastor and every counselor and every friend that they possibly, and talk show host that they possibly can get their head. Oh, you got to help our marriage because we have this problem. Really? It's like the lady who wrote us, you know, the binge watcher will remember this. You know, I want to get divorced because my husband collects beer cans.
My gosh, that's a long time ago now.
Yeah. Well, was he collecting beer cans when you're dating him? Well, yeah. Well, then shut up. Mm. You know, I hate the fact that my husband does this. Well, was he doing that when you were dating him? Well, yeah. Well, then shut up.
He's a smoker. Was he smoking?
Was he smoking? I'm ready. The lady was ready to divorce her husband because he smokes. Yeah. Was he smoking when you were dating him? Yes. Then shut up. Now, this lady is going to marry this guy, drive him crazy, make the kids all psychos because, you know, you can't eat that lollipop because it'll turn you into a frog or whatever the thing is. And then she'll be miserable. And I'll say, did you know he ate sloppily before you married him?
Sure.
And she'll say, yeah. And I will say, then shut up. So I'm just tired of these people who know going in that there's stuff they cannot tolerate. Then break it off and find someone you can tolerate. He's an angry elf today.
He is.
Ooh, he's an angry elf.
We'll take you out and get you some spaghetti with maple syrup and Pop-Tarts.
It's a great movie. I love that movie. All right, this angry elf is going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of your irritating questions right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
We're back on the Mark Gunger Show talking about health, nutrition, and diet and exercise.
That's what we should do more on.
Now listen. There are, you know, I have a great friend. Actually, he watches this thing half the time on the Periscope.
Oh, yeah. Patrick will be getting mad at us.
Patrick, I put him live one day? Yeah. He's a chiropractor. He's a great guy. He's all about nutrition and health and stuff. Again, if you're having health problems, and you probably get in my face because I probably don't eat that. But he's not crazy. He doesn't.
No.
He sees me. Sometimes he'll go out and eat lousy with me.
Yeah.
But he's healthy.
Yeah.
In fact, he said that once. I forget. Someone was asking him about, how come you're doing that? He goes, I don't have any health problems.
Yeah.
So there are people who do, as you said, have health problems. And he would say, well, let's take a look. And he tests.
Yeah,
I love it. He's got a great saying that says, don't guess, test.
And if it tests fine, it's good.
So he does a test. And if you have a food allergy, he's smart enough to say,
Don't eat it.
Right?
Yep.
All right. So that's good. Yeah. Now,
so what did he tell you are allergic to that you can't eat?
Nothing.
You're not allergic to anything?
I don't know that I've actually done his testing. He did check to see if I was, what do you call it? Everybody's so freaked out about with the gluten-free.
Oh, gluten-free. And gluten intolerance.
I have no problem with it, so he doesn't give me any problem with it. So I don't know. I suppose I could, but I don't have any health problems. Fine.
I'm telling you, they stress me out more complaining about, and I mean, I'm not overweight. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have anything.
Ah, you're a little chunky.
Oh, stop. And they start on because my cholesterol is a little bit too high, but I eat well, and it's like, oh my gosh, I know.
But the if you go to a guy like Dr.
Pratt, it's worse than anything that's going on in my body.
I know. And I'm like you. We pretty much have the same level of cholesterol, I believe.
I'm not sure why you would have an increase.
But if I go to Dr. Patrick, he would give me some suggestions.
Yes.
Well, you try this. But he's not a psycho.
Yeah.
All right.
But we're talking about people who are crazy.
And they just shove it down everybody's throat and stuff like that. If you have a problem, then let's address the problem. This portion of the Mark Unger Show brought to you by...
The Wellness Way.
Wellness Way. Dr. Patrick Flynn, yes. Green Bay, Wisconsin. You owe me money, Flynn. I want a meal for that promo. All right.
Well, okay. Okay. On to the next email. We're still doing dating. I didn't even ask you. We're just going on about what Diane wants to do.
All right.
She wants to know, is it possible for Christians and Mormons to be married, or would that be going against the Christian religion?
I think it'll actually explode if they marry.
Spontaneously combust.
It's like matter and antimatter. Because when they hit, boom, man, I mean, everything goes nuts. That's why I don't eat pasta and antipasta. Because you put them, oh, man, anything can happen.
Kaboosh.
You're just done. Can a Christian be married to a non-Christian? Yes, you can. It is not advisable going in. In fact, Paul says, don't do it. His advice was, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Having said that, and I know I'm going to get all kinds of blowback on this, it is not a sin. It's not recorded as a sin. It's not...
To marry someone who's not a believer.
Yeah. I think it's highly inadvisable. And you're the kind of people, again, you'll know going in, and then you're going to get mad later because he won't pray with you, and she doesn't want to go to church, and have all this... Man, even non-Christians have enough sense to challenge people of different faiths. Mm-hmm. You sure you want to do this? Mm-hmm. Because what are you going to do? I saw a show the other day, you know, the father asking, what are you going to do when... You know, the kids come along, and are they going to get baptized? Mm-hmm. Is he going to want to get circumcised because he's a Jewish guy? Mm-hmm. You know, just challenging. There's just common sense. Use your brain. Paul, when writing to the church, giving his advice and saying, it's my advice. This, mm-hmm. you should not marry a non-believer. That's just common sense. Mm-hmm. Is it a sin to do so? I'm not aware that it is. And in fact, he says, if you're married to an unbeliever, of course, the context was, you become a Christian and you're already married to the guy. You don't need to divorce him. If he's happy, leave him alone. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's my answer on that.
It's just wisdom.
It's wisdom. Yeah. You know, going in, it's not...
Because of the differences and because of the difficulties that it would cause.
I'll go further than that. Forget the Mormon evangelical thing, which there's a big divide mm-hmm. there. I'm an evangelical. I think Mormons are wonderful. I like these great people. Mm-hmm. A lot of Mormons watch the show. Mm-hmm. I just think, theologically, they're wrong. But they'd probably say, well, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you go.
Let's go get something to eat.
Agreed.
Let's go eat a cheeseburger.
Right. Take
Send the
Flynn.
Bill back to Flynn. Yeah. You know, that's fine. But in terms of marriage, I think it's ill-advised. Mm-hmm. I would go further than that thing. I think just even different Christian evangelical backgrounds. If you're a hardcore Pentecostal mm-hmm. and you marry a, you know, Baptist who's against all those kinds of things, I think it's just ill-advised. Mm-hmm. Why don't you hook up with somebody who thinks like you mm-hmm. think? Mm-hmm. So, I would definitely advise you to avoid that, you know.
Well, it's like you wouldn't marry
extremes, a Christian and a Muslim. Yeah. Not a good idea. No. You know, so use your brains.
So you wouldn't marry someone who was a raging alcoholic. Now, that the Bible doesn't say that you can't do that. It's not a sin, but it's not wise to do that.
Alcoholism is a sin, but marrying one is not necessarily a sin.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Marrying
I get it.
So, you know,
look, it goes back to the dating chick with the food, you know? I'm really, it's really important to me, and it's not to him. Well, how about you use your brain and mm-hmm. find a different boy? Or leave him alone.
So just because it's not a sin doesn't mean that you should be able to go and do that, because it's not
It's not wise. Use yes. some wisdom. The Bible says seek after wisdom. Listen to me, all you dating people. Ignore the advice everybody gives you. That's why when you get married, you're so miserable. The people who used wisdom going in don't have a problem with these mm-hmm. issues. Their marriages, by and large, are not struggling. Quite frankly, a lot of those people don't listen to the show because mm-hmm. they get it. They just think, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Okay? So, you know, it's the people who don't use wisdom going in that struggle greatly. I have never understood these people who get married and then within weeks or months, they're in hell.
Well, because there were things that they just ignored.
Again. In fact, you know, I've often heard from people say, oh, that first year of marriage can be really difficult. I've heard preachers talk about this, and I think, really? We kind of liked each other, you know? And we got to finally have sex, which our single man here is looking forward to someday soon. You know? Really? After a couple of weeks of marriage, you're in hell? What is that about? I don't understand these people. They ignore everything going in. And the worst I had was 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just married, 2 weeks, called me up, and they were in hell.
But that one you knew hell was on the doorstep.
And I should have
hell was waiting outside the door of the church when they walked out.
I know, but you know, you can't forbid people to marry. You say, look, this is, again, ill-advised.
Ill-advised.
People don't listen to advice. It's the people who don't use wisdom and don't think it through are the ones who wind up in the situation called marriage where they're miserable.
Well, because they want love. They think love is enough. They think, I just want to have sex, so that should be enough. And they just overlook everything
else. They think that love is just basically romance, and it just happens. And
But we love each other.
I should always be happy.
12 shades of crazy going on here. I'm sorry that you love each other, but that doesn't take care of it.
I promise you, the difference between people who are happily married, and you don't have to be a Christian to be happily married. There's a lot of non-Christians who are wonderfully married, a lot of Christians who are miserable in their marriages. It has nothing to do with faith at this point, okay? The people who are happily married tend to be people who thought it through going in. Mm-hmm. The ones who struggle terribly are the ones who did not think it through. Now, if you did not think it through and you're married, okay, you're still married. Mm-hmm. We'll help you. But at some point, you got to change the way you think. But you single people going in, knowing these big differences in faith, eating habits, what are the stuff that you think is just so horrible? You know, if you're a hardcore vegetarian and you hate the smell of meat, you don't marry a guy who's going to want you to cook him a steak. But they don't think. They're all caught up in their emotions. Anyway, hey, it's all you non-thinkers that
keep
give
us
me
in
a
business.
Job. We'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Do I dare let myself sit a while and ponder?
Yes, ponder. Think it through.
Please do.
The music of Michael O'Brien. And bringing us to a dating question.
She says, my fiancé just broke off our relationship because he said that we cannot change who we are, and he did not think we would be happy in the long run.
Okay.
We spent time together one time since we broke up. After we spent time together, he told me that it felt right and that he wanted now to try to work the relationship out.
Uh-huh.
2 days later, I received a text saying that he thought that originally the decision was right and that we should not change who we are, nor should we, and we would not be happy again in the long run. The last month of our relationship, we were not getting along about money, and things from his previous marriage were creeping into our relationship. Should I pursue more answers from him, or should I move on?
Move on! What is the matter with you people? Single people. Here's golden words of advice for all you single people. All you are dating, living together, fornicating your brains, or whatever the heck you're doing. Here's some words of advice. If you need relationship counseling before you get married, you're an idiot. Break it off. Get out of there. They need counseling.
Mm-hmm.
She needs, we're trying to work through, trying to work through our issues. No, 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 no.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I'm saying. When we got married, we actually liked each other.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. When you marry someone you actually like and you actually get along with them and you have no issues, you don't argue about anything. You actually start out life really well.
Mm-hmm.
I dare say it was years before my wife and I started having any kind of issues. And but then we could handle so much because we liked each other. Mm-hmm. We thought the same. We had the same passion for God, the same spiritual perspective, went to the same church. That's what I'm saying. All you people trying to mix it up. I'm going to marry someone from, you know, a Hindu, you know. And then you later you wonder why you're having issues. Good grief. When you, as a single person, and there are people, there are single people who try to come to me for counseling. Mm-hmm. I won't counsel you.
Oh, I know.
We're having problems.
Run.
Good. Good. I'm so glad you're having problems. That means stop it. Get away from them. If people would just listen to that alone. Mm-hmm. There are people, seriously, when they're dating, they find themselves needing some serious relationship problems. Man, I can think of a young couple, I won't mention their names, in our church that Phil knows. These two are always having issues. They're breaking up and fighting. And she's probably going to marry the moron at some point once he finally gets a clue to find and marry the girl. And it's going to be a disaster. God forbid they listen to us. You know, when you can't make it work.
But I love him.
You're an idiot.
But I love her.
You're an idiot. When you can't make it work when you're dating, get away from them. Oh, we had big fights. We had a breakup. We didn't. Really? You want me to meet with you? No. No. I'm glad you're terrible for
each other.
Do
you know who needs to listen to that advice the absolute most? Well, there's problems, there's this, there's that. When you're in a remarriage situation, if there's problems with his crazy ex-wife or her crazy ex-husband, or there's issues with his kids, you need to look at that straight up at the beginning and run as fast as you can.
Oh, in other words, they're still having battles with the ex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Everything that you're experiencing during this Brady Bunch dating is not going to go away. It's going to get worse. So if you, and there's so many people, you know, that they get in these remarriage situations, but if there's trouble at the front end.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that. Yeah, just in all fairness, not everybody has those troubles. They've made peace, they've reconciled.
Exactly, but
or
if
even if they don't get it, but there's no crazy wars going on with them and stuff like that. That's a whole different ballgame. Yeah. But when you've got these unresolved issues, yes. There's so many.
Well, because
you know,
she said he had problems from his previous marriage.
That's what I'm saying. We need to do a dating book. As soon as we finish the one that we got now. Mm-hmm. I got all kinds of ideas now. Maybe I'll call it, For the Love of God, Think It Through. Mm-hmm. And just talk about the obvious. Mm-hmm. If people would just use their brains and think it through. But one of the ways you know you're not supposed to get married when you're dating is when you need relationship help. That means break it off. Run for the hills. And anybody who's having relationship problems in your dating, don't call me. Even if I had the answer, I wouldn't give it to you. If you need help now, it's a warning. How about people get married who don't need relationship help? What do you think of that?
I think that's a
people
novel idea.
People actually like each other can get along. What a concept. All right, we'll see you.
Bye, bye, bye.
Have fun storming the castle.